first and foremost, our prayers and our thoughts with Phil and his family. Well, it's tough. Brought us here to do that.
I have contacted a majority of the players. Know that there is a job to be done. We do have a vision that has to be worked on.
Carry on with Flip put in place. You know, we got a good young nucleus of players. We got some great veterans coming in. And the most important thing I'm going to focus on is just getting this team to play the way Flip will always play hard, play together, play with passion, play with pride, be professional on and off the court at all times, and represent, you know, Mr. Taylor and the Timberwolves and what Flip has constructed the way they were wanted to. And so I'm just going to keep my head down and take it one day at a time, one game at a time, and coach the team to the best of my ability.
Hello and welcome to the latest Wolves Wired podcast, part of the Hardwood Paroxys and Basketball Network Pod Center. You can follow the HP Basketball Network on Twitter. That's at HPB Network. Here with me as always is Tim Fakeless, SportingNews.com contributor, as well as a Wolf Among Wolves bloggist. You can follow him at TimFakLis. My name is Zachary Bennett, and as you were listening to A New Day by Dave Holland with Kevin Eubanks on guitar, you heard Timberwolves now interim head coach Sam Mitchell, as well as general manager Milt Newton, both of whom spoke at a press conference Friday and revealing that Flip Saunders has temporarily stepped away from his executive and coaching duties to focus solely on his fight with cancer. Tim, we learned back on August 11th in a statement released by the Timberwolves that Flip had been diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma. That statement said that the diagnosis came 8 weeks earlier during an examination by Vice President of Team Medical Services, Sheldon Burns. At the time of the statement, Flip had been undergoing chemotherapy treatment for what his doctors called a very treatable and curable form of cancer. The initial plan, as it said in the aforementioned statement, was for Flip to continue doing his duties as president of basketball operations and head coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves, as he has done all along. Now that plan has changed. I don't like this parallel at all, Tim, but with everything that happened at the U of M and Norwood Teague now being the former athletic director, and you hear the interim athletic director as well as Patino and, you know, football coach guy, I'm not even going to bring up his name now. They make it sound like everything is just sort of going to continue as it was before with the Wolves, with the presser today. I don't like to draw that parallel because these are obviously very different circumstances, but in a way, the plan doesn't change for the Wolves, does it?
It doesn't seem that way.
I mean, now that Flip's gone, we have general manager Milt Newton, and we have Sam Mitchell
right
in place, and we're going to debate, or maybe discuss would be the more appropriate term, Sam Mitchell's merits as a head coach a little later in the program. But aside from Flip's health, which we obviously hope improves, what do you make of all this?
Well, you were at the press conference, so I want to ask you first, was the overall message from both Newton and Mitchell, did it surround basically we want to just keep going with what Flip had envisioned, or was there Was there any indication that they're going to do anything different, or was it pretty much we're going to keep rolling with what we have, even given what's going on with Flip right now?
Yeah, you could sense that there's a tone of we need to keep doing what we're doing and stick to the path, but there was also a tone of this is so that Flip gets better.
Right.
It was very obvious that everybody in the room, their primary concern was Flip's health. And I think by the end of the press conference, that was established. In listening to Sam Mitchell talk, it felt like he did everything he could to hold back from saying, you know, I got this.
Right.
And
he's done it before. He's been a coach before.
And yes, exactly. And now that Flip, we know nothing really changes. Now that Flip's gone, we know everybody is in place. And how you felt about what Flip had done as a GM or as a coach before, you don't necessarily feel better about it now that he's gone, but how much worse could you possibly feel?
Right. Well, it's a matter of presence to a certain extent, I think. I mean, the not seeing him on the practice floor and training camp, preseason games, eventually the regular season is going to make a difference. Obviously, there are people there in place that Flip himself hired that are going to try to keep going with what he wanted to do. But overall, I would imagine it's just going to be weird and at times sad to not have him there, especially when you think about, you know, why he's not there.
I totally agree, and I think I hinted at it when we were texting yesterday. You know, who's going to talk at this press conference?
Right.
If Flip's not going to be there, it's weird to just hear anybody in his place talk. And, you know, Milt makes a little sense, and Sam Mitchell filled in for Flip during a game last season when Flip went to go be with his dying father at the time. So, yeah, the presence was a word used there. Obviously, you miss somebody like Flip. It feels weird with him not there. But at the same time, as the listeners heard in the intro, it's these guys have a job to do.
Right.
There's a course to stay. And everybody in that facility is a professional athlete, whether it be Carl Anthony Towns, who is still a teenager, all the way up to some of the veteran guys, including Kevin Garnett and Sam Mitchell. All of them are professionals, so they need to learn to get through it.
The interesting thing is, at least for me, and it's been discussed both positively and negatively over the last year and a half or so, but Flip has his hands all over the organization. He's part owner. He runs the basketball operations part of it. And then he's the head coach. His son's an assistant coach on the team. I mean, he's everywhere. So he's going to be missed in different parts of the organization, not just on the floor. Obviously it's a terrible situation, and both of us here obviously hope he gets better as soon as possible. But it's going to be, I guess, interesting to see how things go on while he's not here, how much does or does not happen.
It's weird, and we're both hesitant, I can tell by the tone right now, and everybody throughout the Twitterverse is too. I spend enough time looking at tweets to know that. But you could argue that maybe they improve with all the knocking on Flip's coaching and things of that nature. You could make the argument. You don't know.
Anything's possible.
Anything's possible!
I guess it all depends on how the coaching staff reacts to the lack of Flip Saunders and how the players react. It's a combination of young guys and old guys, so it's going to be an interesting situation.
Yeah, and a lot of that, if the team is going to improve without Flip, does a lot of that rest on Sam Mitchell's shoulders? Would you like a refresher before you want to go down that road in assessing Sam Mitchell's resume and qualifications, I guess?
Well, let's hear a refresher.
You want to hear a refresher?
I would love to.
I have a refresher planned out
for
the show because I came prepared. Sam Mitchell was an assistant coach with the Milwaukee Bucks for two seasons before taking his first NBA gig in 2004 with the Toronto Raptors. Sam Mitchell obviously played for the Timberwolves. He was on the 1989 inaugural team. He finished his career here. He came back just in time to mentor a young Kevin Garnett, who is now his player on the Timberwolves. But in 2004, Sam took the head coaching job with the Raptors. Rob Babcock was there, currently the Wolves' vice president of basketball operations. So these two have worked together before, Sam Mitchell and Babcock, that is. Sam Mitchell, his biggest accolade, or his most revered accolade, I guess you could say, is his Coach of the Year award in 2006-2007 season. The year before that, in 05-06, the Raptors had gone 27-55 under Sam Mitchell. The next year, they improved to 47-35. They were playing guys like Anthony Parker, TJ Ford, Chris Bosh, obviously, Jorge Garbosa, Rasho Nesterovic, Jose Calderon was on that team, I believe. After that, it sort of turned on him. He ended up being fired two seasons later after going 8-9. You can make the argument that Babcock didn't do any favors for Sam Mitchell in his first two seasons. Babcock presumably had an influence on drafting Rafael Arujo, and I don't know who that is. Do you?
I think he had a brief stint. I think he did training camp with the Wolves one season. Kevin Love's rookie year, I think. He didn't last in the NBA for very long.
He was the 8th overall pick in 04, so you could. That's a pretty big biff. I'm trying to think. I think Ben McLemore for Sacramento went 8th overall. I mean, that's the type of player that you didn't get that you could have gotten
right
in that draft, depending on how strong the class was. As much as Babcock in the front office may not have helped Sam Mitchell any, I don't think Sam Mitchell was perfect by any means. There was reportedly a scuffle between him and Vince Carter. I know supposedly Sam Mitchell and Rafer Alston, a.k.a. Skip to My Lou, for anyone who's a fan of the N1 mixtape tour. I know there was supposedly a beef or a spat between them. None of this was reported on the record or anything like that, I don't think, but it is word that has spread to us at this point, so you have to mention it. I mean, he was an okay coach. Mm-hmm. At the presser today, he said Flip has a huge influence on his coaching philosophy. He said he ran a lot of the stuff that Flip ran in Minnesota, so he's familiar with the system. You can argue that that might not be a good thing. You could argue that maybe it's a familiarity factor that'll help with the team. But Tim, I wanted to ask you, because you've personally interviewed Sam Mitchell in an interview that you published at wolfamongwolves.com. What did you talk about in that interview? Could you make any conclusions about his personality and the type of guy he might be as a head coach as opposed to an assistant? Or is there a distinction at all? I mean, what can you tell me?
This interview was just over a month ago. I didn't really ask him anything that would have him talk about his time as a head coach versus an assistant. I did talk to him about the differences between being an assistant coach and being a mentor, in large part because of his connection with Kevin Garnett, who's obviously on the roster right now. The main thing he basically told me, when you're a player, you're in the locker room, you're one of the players. When you're a coach, you're more of an authority figure. When you're a player, you're also the friend. The coach is, it's more about the respect, not about being a friend. So as a coach, he's going to be more on top of you, I guess. Whereas when he was a player, maybe he would have been more nurturing to a guy like Garnett at that point.
Do you think there's a distinction between what he means when he says coach as a head coach or an assistant coach?
It's a good question. I don't know.
I mean, as an assistant, you feel like you have to kind of play, you know, you are the head coach's assistant.
I'm like mayonnaise because I'm smooth, but dangerous to leave open.
It's your situation. It's your team. As an assistant, you're going off of what the head coach wants, right? So what makes this interesting is he said during the press conference today that he's still going to go along with what Flip Saunders wanted. Obviously, he said that. But
he also said he would tinker with it, too.
Sure,
of
course.
It's not going to be an exact same thing. So
right. So he's the head coach, but at the same time, he wants to carry on the plan. But as the head coach, you're going to be making the decisions yourself. So
I think, if anything, if it's presumptuous.
Sure.
And we can do that because this is our podcast.
And it's September.
We got to create content.
Exactly.
Hashtag content. If you're an assistant coach last year and you are the medium in understanding what the coach wants, but you're a resource to the players to not only help communicate the coach's desires and philosophy, but as an assistant, you're more likely, or you can say, I understand that this is the head coach's thinking and doing, and I necessarily don't buy into that 100%, but I understand what he's saying, and you as the player and I as the assistant coach have to get through it together. So maybe he's already sort of played the player side of the fence, for lack of a better word, for a season, and now he's the head coach. So maybe there's already an understanding of who Sam Mitchell is when he's not the face with the head as the head coach. Do you understand what I'm saying there? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, yeah. So as the head coach, maybe there's going to be more separation, I guess. He'll appear more as an authority figure, whereas last year maybe he
but
was
to,
more.
Yeah, but to guys like Wiggins, maybe he was more of a friend or a,
right, exactly.
a player.
Okay, yeah.
That's a really broad, you know, we're painting that with a very broad stroke, but I think it's interesting. It's like if you're, we're just going to continue forward. I do think that Sam Mitchell is, regardless of how you evaluate and grade his tenure with the Toronto Raptors, Sam Mitchell might have been a head coach and still might be a head coach around the league in the future. I think it's fair to think that regardless of how people perceive his tenure in Toronto, and maybe he might not have connections elsewhere yet, or maybe he's far away from it ever happening, but I think Sam Mitchell could be a head coach in the NBA again, even before this. I think he's interested in that as well. Do you think he's qualified for the position? Definitely under the circumstances he is, but this is a guy who was the head coach of the Virgin Islands national team over the summer, which a lot of people might not have known. They ended up winning the Caribbean Basketball Championships, which is in a way similar to FIBA Americas, only on a much smaller scale. I think the winner of this tournament has to win another tournament, and maybe even another tournament to potentially qualify for the Olympics. But this is the U.S. Virgin Islands. They're playing countries like Bermuda, Trinidad and Tobago, the Cayman Islands. While those are great vacation spots, they're not necessarily basketball powerhouses, at least not yet.
Not yet.
But what do you think of Sam Mitchell's merits as a head coach? Do you think I think he's qualified, considering the circumstances, but couldn't you say that, I mean, last year he almost became the Wolves head coach. Maybe Flip's excuse at the time was the Kevin Love situation, but that Sam Mitchell, I thought, was going to be the head coach.
I think he's qualified. I mean, even if you didn't like the way things ended in Toronto, he won Coach of the Year once.
Can't take it
I
away.
I mean, that's got to count
can't,
for something,
can't
doesn't
take it?
It
away,
it's
yeah.
It's got to count for something. I mean, he's gained respect around the league, even as a player. He was like being a mentor was his thing towards the end of his career. He got right into coaching after he retired. So people obviously respect his knowledge for the game and his ability to communicate with players. He got the head coaching job and he quickly won Coach of the Year within his first, it's got to be his first couple of years.
That was his third year.
Third year. So there's something there and it seems like he's gained the respect of the Wolves. Obviously has respect of the respect of Kevin Garnett.
Glenn Taylor, too.
Of course, yeah, absolutely. And if there's any fear of him losing the roster or anything this year, I don't think there should be. As long as Kevin Garnett's on that roster, he and Garnett are good friends. I don't see anything like that coming close to happening.
What worries me, and this is a discussion that we debated on having, maybe briefly, what worries me is today at the press conference, Timberwolves Chief Executive Officer Rob Moore said that he mentioned the importance of implementing a contingency plan before training camp started on September 28th. He confirmed that Sam Mitchell would be the coach for opening night, October 28th, against the Los Angeles Lakers. And from Wojnarowski's report, we can expect it to be longer than that, almost. Where I'm concerned, Tim, is on Monday, the Wolves, according to Ken Berger of CBS Sports, hired Brian Gates, who
yes.
spent last season as the top assistant under Monty Williams in New Orleans. Monty Williams was ultimately fired. Sam Mitchell did interview for that New Orleans Pelicans gig, but ultimately it went to Alvin Gentry. There was, from my understanding, a brief window where Gentry publicly almost considered retaining Gates. So it's not as if Gates was tied to Monty Williams. This
right.
is somebody who was with the Pelicans or Hornets organization for the last 5 years. He had over a decade in D-League experience and a year of overseas experience before landing his first assistant gig in the NBA with the Sacramento Kings in 2009. He was hired on Monday by the Timberwolves, although the Timberwolves made no mention of that today. Is that, you know, that seems, when you use the word contingency plan, is a contingency plan something you execute and go through after plan A, or the regular plan as you know it, failed? Or is it something you do after the plan has fallen apart? And to me, it seems the Timberwolves released the statement that said Flip was going to go forward with his responsibilities. Now they've, you know, 4 weeks have gone by and they've had to almost, it seems like, hurry and bolster experience and people in the locker room and to make sure that things are okay when he's gone. It feels like reactive and not being proactive. Would you agree?
I don't know. I mean, like you said, Gates was a top assistant.
Yes.
He was the head guy. So I feel like that was a good hire regardless. So even if Flip is the head coach, I'm assuming they called Sam Mitchell the lead assistant, right?
Yep.
Gates is still a good hire considering David Adelman's on the coaching staff, Ryan Saunders, both very young head coaches. It's good to get guys with a lot of experience with, you know, good credentials in their background.
Sidney Lowe was brought up today by Sam Mitchell when Sam was saying how he was going to lean on his assistants.
Right. So, and I mean, in addition to that, he has a history with Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett, apparently.
As he is an assistant on the Canadian national team.
Exactly. So there is a background whether or not Flip has to take time off or not. I'm not an insider by any means. I don't know. I assume that if there was interest before all of this happened, that it would have happened regardless whether Flip was coaching October 28th or not. That's my take.
I guess my concern is, why didn't it happen before? Why is it happening on Monday in the same week where all this transpires? Would be my concern. I have no question after reading, and I did write about this on the Hardwood Bruxism. I will plug that. The parallels between his career, he's a two-time D-League coach of the year. He's a one-time D-League champion with all that experience I just mentioned. His accolades in the minor league level, they parallel to what Flip Saunders did in the CBA. Granted, those are two totally different leagues. So I have no doubt that he's qualified. But the timing of it all, and
sure,
you know, we don't know all of the facts behind it because Brian Gates was participating with the first ever Basketball Without Borders camp in Europe, dealing with, you know, working with 50 of the top, or a bunch of the top, it was the top 50 European players under 17 years old. I don't know when that ended. It was going on during all the coaching drama in New Orleans. So maybe they don't contact each other until that happens. I know his contract expired June 30th with New Orleans, but it worries me that it's a late addition. Billy Bowl wrote on A Wolf Among Wolves today that he doesn't think Brian Gates could ultimately end up with the Wolves job.
The head coach.
The big distinction between Billy's article and my article was that I left the door open. I think Brian Gates could potentially be a head coach in the NBA and possibly the Timberwolves if things work out that way because of his experience. I think he has enough of it and he's qualified. Bill almost ruled out the idea that he could become the Timberwolves coach because he is not in the proverbial country club. What do you think about Gates from what you know, which is probably not a lot because we've only had a week?
Right.
What do you think of his prospects as... You know, what do you think of his experience, rather, and what his future could be with the Wolves? What I really want to know is,
right,
this a late add because of what's going on with Flip, or was this the plan all along?
I'm not an insider. Don't take this as...
We're not insiders.
Right.
They know that by now.
I hope so. If you don't, just know it now. We're not insiders. My guess is... this is all kind of a coincidence with timing. I mean, like you said, he had the Basketball Without Borders going on. His contract expired.
June 30th.
June 30th.
And maybe he wanted family time.
Sure.
Maybe he wanted to mull his options over because he probably had options.
And you said that he works with Team Canada as an assistant.
In Mexico City right now.
So he's in Mexico City. He's been busy this summer is what I'm getting at.
Yep.
The Wolves have been busy. Flip has had struggles with his health. So the involvement that he has been able to have has probably been sporadic over the summer. I just feel like there were enough speed bumps and scheduling conflicts where it could make sense where the timing would have just been kind of strange, and obviously the
I think that's
tough
fair.
Stuff happening with Flip.
We're obviously not going to know
right.
whether it was a contingency plan, mm-hmm. part of a contingency plan, or maybe the first step of a contingency plan.
Exactly, and in regards to his experience and his qualifications, I mean, it seems like he's got everything that the Wolves would want in an assistant coach. I mean,
maybe Flip sees some of himself in him and wants to give him the head coaching job one day.
He specialized in player development with the Pelicans. He was there the last 5 years.
Working with?
Anthony Davis.
Pretty good.
He's a good player.
Pretty good player to help develop, I think.
Right, and he's developed quite well, if you ask me. He's involved with Andrew Wiggins and Anthony Bennett.
He has a rapport with potentially the team's brightest superstar, the Timberwolves.
Exactly. So, I mean, that combined with what you said he did in the D-League, he sounds like a great hire.
This Gates guy is somebody that could potentially take the next step as a coach in the NBA, especially if you're talking about someone who has already gone through endearments with Andrew Wiggins, who is obviously
right.
the centerpiece.
And you mentioned the country club aspect of Wolves hires.
Yeah, Billy Bowles article mentioned.
Sorry,
it,
Billy
yes,
Bowl
yes.
mentioned.
And the country club does exist.
There's a thing there. I mean, if you look at Sam Mitchell's hire in Toronto, he was hired by Rob Babcock. He worked in the front office under Kevin McHale, Timberwolves. I mean, there's a history. It's a funny history.
You could almost call Toronto Country Club North, only it's south of Minneapolis.
Right. I mean, who's the head coach of the Raptors right now?
Former Wolves coach Dwayne Casey.
Not that he was hired by a Wolves executive, but I just think that's funny.
Well, and then Dwayne Casey poached Bill Bonio, who apparently Flip didn't want to retain, but that's a different discussion. Bill Bonio, also a former
right.
Wolves assistant coach.
And in regards to Gates, my question as it goes with the country club is, now that he's an assistant,
he's in.
How long does it take to become part of the country club? Is he just in?
How many years will he sit on the sideline before he becomes head coach? Is that what you're asking?
How long do you have to be in the country club before you can run the country club?
It's a good point. But what I found interesting when I was reading about assistant coaches in the NBA is there can only be three of them who sit in the front row, who sit courtside. And when Saunders is at the helm, it's Flip Saunders is the head coach, Sam Mitchell and Sidney Lowe, and Ryan Saunders are your three assistants. You hire Brian Gates, who, quite frankly, I had never heard his name before Monday. We just gloated about how experienced and renowned he is, so my hearing of his name doesn't say anything as far as his qualifications go. But now you have Sam Mitchell, so now you have Sidney Lowe, presumably Gates, I would imagine, unless you're going to have both David Adelman and Ryan Saunders out there, which I don't think will happen.
I think it would be Gates.
I think so.
Yeah.
Could it be Penberthy? Maybe. But I think it's Gates because of all of his head coaching experience. And he sort of brings the gray hair factor to the Wolves bench now that Flip is gone. So that was an interesting thing, I thought. And then in the second row, you can have an athletic trainer. You know, you can have pretty much everybody. Team security sits in the second row. Like, anybody can sit in the second row. But Gates and Team Canada down in Mexico City were in action Friday, losing to Venezuela.
That was shocking.
At the end of regulation, the game was tied. Venezuela held the ball for the last shot. Shot went up, and a foul allegedly was...
Allegedly.
Well, a foul was committed.
Yeah.
They reviewed the play after it happened, and deemed that a foul had been committed against... Tim, you were watching.
I was. There was a shot that went up, as you said, and in an effort to get a rebound. Cesar Garcia was called... Or no.
He was fouled.
Right. He was fouled by Aaron Dornkamp, Canada's oldest player, 29 years old. He's one of the big men on the team. He was... Apparently, he kind of grabbed him...
By the face...
And pulled him down, but I don't know. If you were on Twitter as it was going down, most, if not everyone, didn't agree with the call.
Well,
I didn't agree with the call.
If you're going to call it. The problem with this play is it wasn't called right away. There was some discussion between the officials after it happened.
then they went to replay, and then they called the foul. I don't even think that can happen in the NBA.
I don't think you can go on into the replay and figure out a foul.
And who is this? Who made the box out?
Aaron Dornkamp?
Aaron Dornkamp, I saw it. He was on the left block. Now, the replay that we saw on your laptop only showed one angle. But from the angle that we saw, Dornkamp was, he had a body on somebody. A smaller guard who ended up getting fouled came up and, you know, as Dornkamp boxing him out, it was just a physical play with the game on the line. I don't even think it's called in the NBA.
I don't, especially on a last shot situation.
It's an irrelevant foul.
Right. And if Garcia, at least on the FIBA site, they list him at 5'9". Like, he's a little guy. So if he's going to go up into a physical situation with a big guy like Dornkamp, maybe it looked exaggerated.
You're asking for
it. That's what was called the foul.
Yeah. You could argue he initiated contact.
Right. Exactly. I wasn't a fan of the call. But it puts Canada in a rough situation because they're not going to be in the finals now and they're not automatic qualifiers for this tournament.
Yeah, they're going to go to the third place game. I don't know when that is. It's not entirely relevant because Brazil didn't make the final. So, therefore, third place team does not get a bid. The game's outcome doesn't essentially matter. There is another way Canada can qualify for the World Cup next year, we decided. FIBA has a map on its website that lays this out in sort of a neat way.
It's a beautiful map.
Yeah, if you have ADD, it's great. I suggest you go look at it. Next June 2016, there are three qualifying tournaments in which the third and fifth place team from FIBA Americas will enter into, and the third through seventh place team at Eurobasket will enter into. Now, there are three different qualifying tournaments, so we don't necessarily know if the European teams can play the North American teams, but there is another opportunity to see Canada attempt to qualify for the Olympics. Hopefully they do, because I think a Canadian-American matchup in the Olympics would be kind of cool with all the narratives. Namibia, Bielica, and Serbia, meanwhile, just finished group play over at Eurobasket. They went a perfect 5-0, sort of an underwhelming final game of the group phase against Italy, in which they won by at least 20 points, although Marco Bellinelli did not play. He, along with Andrea Bargnani and Dino Gallinari, are a pretty fun team to watch when they're all on the court. So they are in action on Sunday in the second round against Finland. We'd like to think that's a win. And then, depending on the outcome of that game, they will probably play later in the week. I want to say Tuesday. But I think that's all. Any lasting thoughts?
On FIBA?
Or any of the topics we touched on this podcast?
Get well soon, Flip. That's all I got right now.
We didn't miss anything, did we? I don't think so.
0304 Wolves are going to be in NBA 2K16.
That's what it was.
I'm excited about that.
Okay, let's go down that road. Who was on that roster?
You want me to go down?
Living in Phoenix at the time.
Starting center, Irvin Johnson. Not Michael Olowokandi. If you remember, Irvin Johnson was the starter. Power forward, Kevin Garnett, of
Irvin
course.
Irvin Magic Johnson?
Irvin Johnson, old Bucks center.
No relation.
No relation whatsoever. Kevin Garnett, power forward. Starting power forward, Trenton Hassell, my boy. I have his jersey.
Trenton Hassell's a starter.
He was the star. Oh, man. Look back at the old.
So Kevin Garnett's at the three.
He's at the four. Hassell was the three. If you look back at the old box scores, the playoffs that year.
Sprewell wasn't on that, too.
Sprewell started. He was the two. Wally was the sixth man.
Got it.
Sam Cassell, all NBA second team that year. Starting point guard. You got Michael Olowokandi on your bench. You've got Gary Trent on your bench. Got Derek Martin on your bench, who was a Wolves assistant for a while.
Wow, and you don't even have this pulled up on the desktop.
Man,
like,
I
we
was
do
all
stuff.
Over that team.
Like a bad rash?
Like a good rash. Man, that team was great. Man, I'm trying to think of who else I'm missing.
That's okay.
I named most of them.
You hit the essentials.
Keith McLeod was on the team briefly. Anthony Goldwire. I mean, wow. I was all over
those are
team.
Some names.
Yes.
Holy buckets.
I'm excited to play with that team. Shoot some mid-range J's with Cassell, some baseline J's with Trent Hassell, Duncan Garnett.
And some mid-range jumpers, of course.
Of course. Lots of mid-rangers.
Lots of mid-rangers. Okay.
That team was all about the mid-range jumpers.
We should stop now.
Yeah.
Thanks for joining us on the latest edition of Wolves Wired. For Tim Fakeless, I'm Zachary Bennett. Until next time.
See ya.